In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I've been praying a lot these days. These aren't necessarily formal prayers. It's more like I find myself praying without even thinking about it. When reports of civilian casualties in Syria come up, when I heard about the bombing of the funeral in Yemen last week, as unsettling aspects of the election continue to emerge, or when I think of those villages in Haiti that were finally starting to turn around only to be devastated in a matter of hours. These prayers happen almost like a reflex. Oh God, I think, please be with them. Help us. These prayers come, and most often I just let them be. But every now and then, I have to think twice about it, especially in those areas of chronic suffering, sadness, and tumult that never seem to change. Most of us have probably wondered at one time or another if our prayers matter. Do they make a difference? Is what we ask for too much? Is what we hope for too great? Are we being irrational, delusional? Are our prayers heard? As hard as it may be to admit such thoughts to ourselves, I don't think this comes as a surprise to God. In fact, it might be the reason that Jesus offers the parable we just heard about the need to pray always and not lose heart. This parable is a quirky story about a widow who goes after an unjust judge until he grants her justice. In a way, it's refreshing. If only the good guys or gals were always so persistent and the bad guys so self-aware. And while it may seem a bit odd using this unsavory judge character to help us understand the nature of God, keep in mind that the parable isn't making a comparison between God and the judge, as if to say, if you just badger God enough, God will finally give in. Quite the opposite. The parable is contrasting God and the judge, using the lesser to the greater argument to say that even if a morally bankrupt judge can finally come around and grant justice, how much greater and more readily will God be in granting justice? We are assured here that God will grant justice quickly. And yet we might wonder, where is the evidence? But this is where it's important to keep in mind that this is a parable, which means its purpose is to teach us about God's kingdom. It's not a story about the way things are now, but about the way they are in God's kingdom and the way they will one day be. In this way, the parable is imparting an alternative vision to us, a world where the innocent, vulnerable, and exploited prevail against their oppressors, and where even the most corrupt individuals do good in spite of themselves. Jesus gives us this vision and urges us not to give up on it. As if anticipating the difficulty of what he's asking, he wonders aloud whether there will be any faithful left when he returns. This parable, which was originally intended for the Lucan community who believed that they would see the second coming in their lifetime and were growing weary of waiting, is really for all of us who find ourselves in that uncomfortable place of praying, hoping, longing, and waiting for the realization of God's kingdom in our world. To those of us who witness what's happening and are grieved at the injustice, the parable encourages us to pray always and not lose heart, which is to say that we are to be like the widow in our prayers. The widow didn't predicate her request on whether it was likely that the judge would grant it. Everything about him and the situation said that he wouldn't. She wasn't self-conscious or apologetic. In her outspoken persistence, she was making a public spectacle of herself. In fact, a more accurate translation of the judge's complaint is that she's giving him a black eye. She's embarrassing him and calling into question his reputation by persisting with her case. In a way, our prayers for God's kingdom to come and for God's will to be done, for the end of violence and suffering, for healing, wholeness, and the unity of all people, may seem just as out there as the widow's demands. By the world's standards, they are too great to ask and too much to hope for. And by all logical standards, they don't stand a chance. But the widow didn't make her plea based on reason or based on what she should expect from life. She had no husband, no social standing, no inheritance, no power, and she was up against a man with great power and privilege, who by his own admission didn't care about anything. She should have expected nothing. But she made her appeal based on what she knew was right and based on a vision of justice that she wouldn't give up on. In the parable, Jesus encourages us to pray with that same persistence. Not based on what we should expect based on the way the world works, but to pray in the direction our hearts are leading us. To pray in the service of our longing for God's kingdom to come. God is asking us to stay spiritually engaged with the determination of the widow. Until that day, when what seems impossible becomes possible, when widows prevail and those standing in the way of justice relent, and God's kingdom is not only a prayer to be hoped for, but a reality in which we can rejoice. So when those spontaneous reflex prayers come, when you are so overwhelmed by the news or what's happening around you, pray. Let the prayers come. Be like the widow and don't give up. Is what we ask for too much? Is what we hope for too great? Yes. And God is asking us not to give up on it. And we can be assured that God has not. Amen.